Acts chapter 9, if you would, tonight. We're going to pick up where we left off this morning. Thank you for coming back as we continue our study through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9, verse 22. I'm going to give you guys a lot of scriptures tonight, so some of you like to take notes, and some of you don't, but you should. You should learn to love to take notes. And so I'm going to give you a lot of scripture references tonight. It'd be great to write some of these down. But what I'm going to attempt to do is walk through the Gospels with you with places where we find in the scriptures that it says something like, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. We're going to walk through some of that because I believe that that's exactly what the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, newly saved convert, did. Let's stand together, and we're going to read Acts 9:22 to get started tonight. Are you glad that you're here? I'm glad that you're here, whether you are or not, and it is good together to look to the Word of God together. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity together tonight. We pray, Lord, for those that are unable to be here with us, we pray that whatever is keeping them away, you'll remove that, bring them together, that we can gather with the saints to sing your praises, to glorify your holy name, to encourage and exhort one another. And Lord, thank you for this time together. Please bless as we look into your word. I pray that you would show us truth, help us to know you better so that we might be better equipped to make you known. Lord, we love you, and we pray you'll help us to love you more. Lord, we want to abide in your word. Help us, by your grace, to continue in your truth, Lord, and help us to be genuine disciples living for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So we saw this morning that the Apostle Paul, or at this time Saul, when he was healed from his blindness, immediately he was baptized to identify with Christ, to be a Christ follower. Then he received meat. Then he was strengthened or invigorated, and then he stayed with the disciples certain days at Damascus, so he was encouraged, and then we saw how he was engaged in the gospel business. He got to work straightway preaching Christ in the synagogues, multiple synagogues, that Jesus is the Son of God, and they were all amazed. They were all confounded. They couldn't believe that this was the same Saul of Tarsus who came to throw Christians into prison. Now he's preaching Jesus is the Christ, and he increased the more in strength. Now, we can apply this physically. We can say, well, he went 3 days without food, and he got stronger, but this is more about his spiritual strength. The more he knew Jesus, the more he tied together his understanding of who Christ was, Jesus of Nazareth was, and what he did in his life, and what he learned from the disciples, the more he tied that in with the Old Testament scriptures, the more he was strengthened. And the same thing will be true for you and I. As we look into the Word of God and we see Jesus not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old, it will strengthen our understanding of who he is, and it'll equip us to do what he did, proving that this is the very Christ, that Jesus of Nazareth is Christ indeed, that he's Messiah indeed. And so he was confounding them. They were astounded. They were amazed, and they couldn't argue with his biblical knowledge. So here we go. Everybody ready? All right, buckle up. Here we go. Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. Matthew 1, 20 to 23. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So from the very announcement of his birth, he was fulfilling scriptures before he was ever born. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Matthew 2:13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. So after he was born, Herod, with mad with rage, was murdering the baby boys 2 years and under. And the Spirit of God said, I need you to go up to Egypt. So he did, just so. Not only so he could save his life, he could have sent him anywhere. They could have ran away to lots of places. But he went to Egypt because the Word of God said that he would be called out of Egypt to fulfill scriptures. He was a tiny, tiny child at that time. No way he had any control over that. But God was working things out through the life of Christ before he was born, after he was born. Matthew chapter 2, verse 22. Matthew 22 and 23. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Just as a side note, a lot of people get this confused, Nazarene and Nazarite. There was the Nazarite vow like Samson was under. That doesn't apply to Jesus at all. He was a Nazarene because he would be raised up at Nazareth. He would be that shoot, that rod, that stem of Jesse. It all ties together with where he was raised. So even before he was born, where he was born in Bethlehem, where he would be hidden up in Egypt for a time, then called out of Egypt, where he would be raised in Nazareth, Jesus is fulfilling scripture after scripture after scripture. And I am convinced that this is probably where the Saul of Tarsus started when he's confounding the Jews. He's going through the scriptures. He's telling you, listen, the prophet said he would be born in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. The prophet said that he would be called out of Egypt. He was called out of Egypt. The prophet said he would be raised up a Nazarene, and he was called out, and he was raised in Nazareth. And he would begin walking through what the prophet said and how Jesus fulfilled those prophecies. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So as Jesus was born, where he was raised up, to the fast forward to the time that he begins preaching after he's baptized, and it's all to fulfill where he began to preach, that Jesus would take the light of the gospel to the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, Zebulun and Naphtali, just as prophesied by Isaiah the prophet. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. This is verse 16 through 22. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? So Jesus, from his birth through his early life, now in his earthly ministry, he is fulfilling scriptures to the point that he gets up and reads from the scroll and says, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He is claiming to be Messiah. He's making the claim from very early on in his ministry that he would say, I am the fulfillment of this scripture. And they were amazed. Isn't this just the carpenter's son? This is Joseph's son. and listen to the way he speaks, the gracious words. In another place, they would be astounded with the authority that with which he spoke. Matthew 8, 14 through 17. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You know, you think about Jesus, you think about all the healing that he did, but oftentimes we miss the fact that this was in itself, that it was fulfillment of prophecy, that he would take infirmities, that he would bear sickness, that he would be the Savior. Matthew chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and the great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall not he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. By the way, that comes from Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4. So Isaiah prophesying, Jesus fulfilling scripture as he continues his earthly ministry. Listen, he was meek and he was lowly. Don't misunderstand meekness with weakness. Jesus has all power, but he came humble and lowly, and he didn't stir up a bunch of trouble, but he came being obedient to his Father's will, preaching the gospel, preaching the kingdom, and healing the sick, just like the scriptures said. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. That Messiah, when he came, he wouldn't be exclusive to the Jews, but his gospel, his love, his salvation would be available to all, to all. Matthew chapter 13, verse 13 through 17. Matthew 13, 13. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Here he points back to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Also Ezekiel 12 and verse 2. And he says, listen, the prophecy was given that they would hear and not understand, that they would see and not perceive. Why? Because they had hardened their hearts, that they had chosen to reject him. Their heart was waxed gross. Their ears were dull of hearing. Their eyes, they had closed. And here's what Jesus did. According to the scriptures, when they would not hear, when they would choose not to believe, he would speak in parables. Listen, sometimes you think that parables were given to give better understanding, but the truth was, parables only give better understanding to those who believe. It actually blinds those who choose not to believe. Those who are dull of hearing, those who have closed their ears and their eyes, the parables cause them to not understand the truth. That's what they were given. That's what he says. I'm going to speak to them in parables because they've chosen not to hear me. They've chosen not to see. And even though they see me, even though they hear me, they will not believe. And so he speaks to them in parables, just like Isaiah said. Matthew chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Matthew 13, 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Psalm 78, verse 2. Psalm 78, 2. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 5. Matthew 21, 1 through 5. You're doing a great job back there, Dave. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage and to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. Zechariah 9 and verse 9. Listen, so we've moved really fast through Jesus' birth, through his ministry. We're all the way down to the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But even how he would come into Zion, the city of King David, was prophesied by Zechariah. And if you go back and you're studying Zechariah, it's something you might not even pay attention to if you didn't know the rest of the story. But most of us, we started here in Matthew. And then we go back and find it in Zechariah. But these Jews that Paul, or the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus was preaching to, they didn't have Matthew. They had Zechariah, though. And so when he would point to the scriptures, he might have stood there and told them in the synagogues, listen, do you know how Jesus of Nazareth came into Jerusalem before he was crucified? Do you know how he got there? He sent his disciples to get the colt, the foal of the donkey, and he rode in. Just like Zechariah said, and he might have even been able to open the scroll in the synagogue and say, see, it's right here, exactly how Jesus came into the city. And so he's going through scripture after scripture after scripture in the Old Testament, and we have the privilege to look at the Word of God, the completed Word of God, and see it from both sides. We get to see the finished product. We get to see the fulfillment. And then we get to go back and understand the original, the prophecies. But these men that he's preaching to in the synagogues, they had the prophecies, but they didn't know about the fulfillment until somebody showed up and preached and said, Jesus of Nazareth, he did this and this and this and this and this. And over and over and over, the case was made that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And he's proving it with scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. I want to tell you something. You may run across people you're trying to witness to who say they don't believe the Bible, but I want to encourage you to give them the Bible anyway. Why? Because his word is a living word. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish that which he sends it forth to do. And I'm telling you, even though they may say, I don't believe in that, the word of God will have an impact on their heart. God's going to use it. And here's the harsh truth, friends. God will get glory from every human being that exists. Amen. He'll get glory from those who believe because he has poured out his grace and mercy and love on you, and you have trusted in his son Jesus. He's going to get glory through that. But even those who reject the gospel, he's going to get glory from them too. He's going to get glory from his justice. He's going to get glory from his truth. He's going to get glory from his righteousness. But dear friend, please, please seek to give him glory by trusting in his son. So there's Saul of Tarsus. I don't know exactly which scriptures he pointed to, but I'm telling you that these are the ones that we see in the Gospels that the Holy Spirit inspired these men to write that said this was done so that it would fulfill what the prophet said. And over and over and over and over it is. Let's continue John 12:27. John 12:27. I want to read several verses here. John 12:27-41. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Here in verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report," comes from Isaiah 53 and verse 1. I don't know that there's a more clear Old Testament prophecy pointing to Jesus as the Messiah than Isaiah 53. And it begins with this statement. And then we look at Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. I've already mentioned this is where he saw his glory and he spake of Messiah and those who would reject him. John chapter 13, verse 18 and 19. John 13, 18. "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, 'He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me.' Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he." In Psalm 41:9, the scripture tells us that the one who would eat bread with him would lift up his heel against him. So Jesus not only signified what death he would die by being crucified, by being lifted up like the brazen serpent in the Old Testament, but he also foretold who would betray him so that they would believe later, because the disciples didn't have a clue. When Jesus said, "It's one of you who's going to betray me," they didn't say, "Oh, I know who it is." They said, "Is it me?" They didn't have a clue. So he told them ahead of time so that later they would believe. John 15, 24 and 25. "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, 'They hated me without a cause.'" Psalm 35, 14. Jesus knew they would hate him. They knew they would hate his Father. The scriptures prophesied of that truth. And he continued to preach to them, even though they wouldn't believe, so that they would understand the scriptures had been fulfilled and the scriptures were a testament against them. Matthew 26, 51 through 54. Matthew 26, 51. "And behold, one of them which was with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, 'Put up again thy sword into his place, for all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou not that I can now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" Now here Jesus doesn't refer to a specific scripture, but to all the scriptures that point to his death. And you can go through so many, but Psalm 22, Psalm 69, Isaiah 53 are some of the major passages of scripture that I would encourage you to write down and study out. Psalm 22, Psalm 69, Isaiah 53. Now, Matthew chapter 26, verse 55 through 56. "In that same hour, Jesus said unto the multitudes, 'Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple. You laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled.' Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." And he points to Zechariah 13, verse 7. Zechariah 13, 7. John chapter 18, verse 31. "Then said Pilate unto them, 'Take ye him and judge him according to your law.' The Jews therefore said unto him, 'It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die.'" Now, when the Jews killed somebody, they stoned them. Remember what happened to Stephen? They didn't have any problem breaking the law to kill Stephen. But listen, God's plan and design had to accomplish God's purposes as he prophesied. They couldn't stone Jesus. He had to be killed by crucifixion. There was no other way for him to die because that's what the prophet said would happen. They would look on him who they pierced. He would be lifted up like Moses lifted up the brazen serpent on a pole. He would be lifted up so that he would draw all men into himself. And listen, we go through all of these scriptures to see that he fulfilled every single one of them and so many more that we're not even looking at tonight. Mark chapter 15, verses 24 to 28, when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the king of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand, the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, he was numbered with the transgressors. And again in John 19, 24, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. That's Isaiah 53, 12 and Psalm 22, 18. Isaiah 53, 12, Psalm 22, 18. Now we come down to John 19, 28. John 19, 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. Now there set a vessel full of vinegar. They filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on hyssop, put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he saith, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Psalm 22, 15, Psalm 69, 21, both tell us that they would give him vinegar to drink and that he would thirst. John 19, 32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Psalm 34, verse 20. Psalm 34, verse 20, and Zechariah 12, verse 10. And one more passage I want to share with you tonight is Luke 24, beginning at verse 36. Luke 24, 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. They said unto him, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And the Lord Jesus Christ, from before he was born, through his early life, all the way through his ministry, everything he did was to fulfill the will of his Father. Everything he did fulfilled the prophecies according to the scripture. And when Saul of Tarsus got up to preach, he did exactly what Jesus said here. He pointed back to the law and to the prophets and to the Psalms, and he preached unto them Jesus, proving that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, and he did it by using the scriptures to prove it was Jesus. Now, I could list for you dozens more verses from Genesis 3:15, what most people call the proto-evangelicum, the first gospel. We could go through Genesis, we could go through Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, we could go through Isaiah chapter after chapter after chapter in Isaiah, we could go through Psalm after Psalm after Psalm. I'm just telling you that when you study your Bible, you look through the Old Testament, if you will look, you will see Jesus. Some people have referred to it as the scarlet thread, the red thread that ties the blood of Jesus from the Old Testament all the way through to the very last amen. I'm telling you that this book is a book of redemption. And Jesus is the Redeemer. And when Saul of Tarsus stood up to preach that day, when he went to the synagogue after synagogue after synagogue and proved it was Christ, he did it by using the scriptures. So what does that mean for you and I today? It means that you and I need to know the scriptures. Amen. Listen, they don't have to be Jews for us to use the Old Testament to prove it's Christ. We're supposed to take the whole counsel of God and proclaim Christ. Does it not bolster your faith? Does it not increase your faith when you see these things? I mean, when you're reading here and you go, man, where does that come from? And so you flip back in your Bible, Isaiah chapter 6, and you're reading along and you go, oh man, that's exactly what it says in the New Testament. When you're reading through Zechariah and you come across and you go, man, that's exactly how Jesus came into Jerusalem. And you say, man, this is incredible. He was born in Bethlehem. He was hidden in Egypt, had to be called out of Egypt, but then he was raised up in Nazareth. And we see just from the very beginning, Christ fulfilling all these scriptures. Does it not increase your faith? Amen. And we learn of him through every place so we can point to those truths. Amen. There are a lot of people in our community that are critical of the Bible. But they're people who have never studied the Bible. Amen. They tell me that the Bible is full of contradictions, but they've never actually even read a book of the Bible. Amen. I'm telling you this, if you're a skeptic of the Bible, you ought to study the Bible. The same thing will happen to you, I pray, that happened to men like Lee Strobel and C.S. Lewis, men who started out as atheists trying to disprove the Bible only to find faith in Jesus. Amen. Because the Word of God is living. It's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And we need to learn how to skillfully wield the sword of the Lord, which is the Word of God. And we have to do that by prayer and by study. Now, if you'll jump back to Acts chapter 9 very quickly, Saul increased the more in strength, verse 22. Acts 9:22, and confounded the Jews with Jael to Damascus, proving that this very Christ, verse 23 says, and after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying in wait was known of Saul. They watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Saul was continuously empowered by God. And then Paul had that dangerous escape when the disciples saved his life. Around the wall of Damascus and most walls and cities in that day, there were houses. And on the outside of the wall, they would have their windows. And it was one of these windows where he was let down in a basket. This basket's the same kind of basket the scriptures described. Remember the day Jesus fed the 5,000? And they gathered up 12 baskets full. It was this kind of basket, the Greek word, same word. It was a basket big enough to let a man down out of a window. You say, well, maybe he wasn't a very big guy. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It was big enough to let a man down out the window. And when Jesus fed the thousands, they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments. I'm just telling you, friends, we look at the scriptures, we see Jesus. We see who he is. We see what he's accomplished. Because this is a book of redemption, and it's all about the Redeemer. Tonight I want to ask you to come, stand with me, musicians to come. While they're coming, will you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus. And Lord, I know I've just rattled off a lot of verses tonight, but I pray that you would accomplish your will with your word tonight, that we have seen Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the one and only Savior, the fulfillment of Scripture and prophecy, and the only one who could save. Please give us a hungering and a thirsting for righteousness. Give us a hungering and a thirsting to know you through your word. Just give us a passion to search the Scriptures so that we can know you. Please help us that your will be done in this time of invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.